Hi, y'all. This is Carrie D. from Coffee with Carrie. It's such a privilege to do this adventure we call homeschooling with you. Thank you for tuning in again and for walking this homeschooling journey with us. If you're new to us, you can find us on Instagram at Coffee with Carrie Consultant or at our website, coffeewithcarrie.org. It's our prayer that our website, our homeschooling consulting services, and our podcast will help you homeschool one step at a time, one day at a time, and one cup of coffee at a time. Pour yourself a cup of coffee, put your feet up, and take a little coffee break with me. Today, we're going to explore what to do when God's plans don't match ours. In today's podcast, we will dig deep into the book of Jonah and learn lessons from the prophet on how to be joyful and obedient when God's homeschooling itinerary doesn't match ours. And we'll talk about the biblical principles from the book of Jonah that we can apply to our ministry of motherhood and our calling to homeschool. So let's get to it. You know, when I was a new mom, I just wish someone, anyone, would have set me down, looked me straight in the eyes, and just told me the truth. Girl, you may not survive this. Friends, motherhood is hard. And don't get me wrong, it is the biggest blessing God has ever given me, and it's the best job I've ever had. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. But it is hard. Then, when you add homeschooling to it, well, you start to develop a few little tics and your eyes start to twitch and you have menopause-like symptoms all the time and you look and sound like the crazy cat lady always talking to herself. Your hair definitely gets grayer faster. You get way less sleep than you did before you started homeschooling. You start finding things in the freezer. You have no idea how they got there in the first place. And you start to discover things in the microwave you forgot that you left in there hours ago. It's a good day when you have time to apply mascara and you actually leave the house with matching shoes. Okay, so maybe I'm just describing myself, but if you're a mom who homeschools too, then I'm sure you can relate to at least some of what I just described. When I meet with new homeschooling moms, I do try to be honest with them, and I tell them, you can do this. You will love homeschooling. But I make sure I tell them that there will be hard days, sometimes hard weeks, and sometimes even hard seasons. My original plan was to be a mom, but not a homeschooling mom. But sometimes our plans just don't match God's. My original plan was not to homeschool. I was a classroom teacher, and I thought homeschoolers were just a little cray-cray. But once I accepted God's plan for our family to homeschool, it wasn't my plan to start so early either. I was having a very hard pregnancy, and I wanted Francesca in preschool so I could rest a little and maybe vomit in peace. But that wasn't God's plan. We started homeschooling way before I thought I was ready. But you know what? We loved it. All of us loved it. All of it. But then, it wasn't my plan to face so much opposition from my family and friends. And it certainly wasn't my plan to homeschool while my son was having seizures, was anemic, and was diagnosed with a heart condition. It definitely was not my plan to switch homeschooling groups and start our own. It wasn't my plan for my son to be dyslexic. I'm not qualified for this. And we didn't have the money for the extra help. It wasn't my plan to have my dad come live with us for 6 weeks so we could take care of him. And it certainly wasn't my plan for him to pass away while he was here. It wasn't my plan for some of the heartache and loneliness and betrayal that has been part of our homeschooling journey for both me and my kids. But in hindsight, I can see God's plan through it all. Sometimes our plans are not at all like God's. But we can be sure that his timing is perfect and his ultimate plans are perfect. As we begin our journey with Jonah, let's clarify one point. This story is not about Jonah. It's about God. Jonah's not the hero in this story. God is. And this is just like it is for homeschooling. Homeschooling's not about us. It's all about God. It's not about our plans or our reasons for homeschooling. It's all about God's plans and reasons for us to homeschool. And it's not about us And you know, it's really not about our kids either. It's all about God. At the beginning of the story, Jonah is running from God. And at the end of the story, Jonah is arguing with God. It's in the in-between time that he's praying and preaching. Sadly, I can't even say I'm like Jonah was in the middle of his story. I started out homeschooling running. I am ending my homeschooling journey complaining. And in my in-between years, yes, I have been praying and preaching, but I'm still whining and arguing and running too. This book is not about Jonah. This book is about God and how great his heart is towards prodigal sons and daughters who run away from him and his plans. It's about God's heart and long-suffering for rebellious sons and daughters who insist on going their own way when he knows his plans are far better. Homeschooling is not about us. Friends, we are raising a generation, if not the generation, that will have the hardest, longest, and fiercest battle with the spiritual realm and with the future evils foretold in the book of Revelation. We're raising up a generation that will need to stand firm in their faith against persecution like no other believer has seen. We are raising up a generation that will be a beacon in a very dark world. Their lights need to shine bright. They need to be fierce. They need to be strong. They need to have a heart for the lost, and they need to have a heart for God. God chose you to be the mom of your child for a reason. And he chose you to educate him in a very different way for a reason. God has a plan for you, your child, your family, and for this generation. We have the privilege to be part of that plan. But let's face it, we're a bunch of rebellious mamas. I mean, we homeschool after all. Most of us homeschool because we saw what was happening down the street at our local school and thought, I think I can do a little better than that. And my kids deserve better than that. I mean, we homeschool. We buck the system. The world tells us we need to educate our children one way and one way only, but we laugh in their face. And the state tells us we need to teach this or that, and we say, ha! No, we don't. So let's call it what it is. Just by choosing to homeschool, we have a rebellious streak in us. We're rebels, but with a good cause. And we're all a bunch of Jonahs too. At least at some point in our life or in our homeschooling journey, we have done exactly what Jonah did. God called us to go one way, and we went the other. God calls us to do it his way, but we choose to do it our own. But you know, God never gave up on Jonah. Not when he ran away, not when he argued, and not when he sat underneath a vine and pouted. As we dig deep into the book of Jonah, let's remember this main point. We do need to trust and obey. We need to follow God's call. Or as my son tells me, we just need to stay in our lane. We need to constantly pray Psalm 25:4. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. And then we need to walk in that path. In Jonah 1, verses 1 to 2, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and God told him, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Isn't it amazing how one sentence can change a person's life? Life can turn on a dime. You could be in an accident or be injured. You could lose your job. You could get a diagnosis you weren't expecting. You might have to care for parents that you weren't expecting, or you're told to stay in quarantine for 3 more months. Called to homeschool, or you're called to keep homeschooling. That's what happened to Jonah. His life turned on a dime. Nineveh was 500 miles northeast of where Jonah was. Nineveh's in the modern-day Iraq, about 300 miles north of Baghdad. And Tarshish was almost 2,000 miles west in Spain. That's a 2,500-mile gap between God's call and Jonah's heart. God said, go east. Jonah said, I'm going to go west. And we all have a Nineveh. Nineveh is whatever pulls you out of your comfort zone. And maybe that is homeschooling. Nineveh is the place where God calls you to go, but you don't want to go there. Nineveh is the person or people who have hurt you deeply, but God says, go and give them my message. Nineveh might be that gaggle you call your children who drive you crazy sometimes, but God says, teach them. Nineveh is danger. Nineveh is discomfort. Nineveh is whatever you hate that God deeply loves. Is there a 2,500-mile gap between your plans and God's? Are you trying to take a different route than God's path for you? And do you find that your itinerary is completely different from God's? Sometimes God puts people in your homeschooling path you would have never been friends with if it weren't for homeschooling. Sometimes God takes us on a little or long side trips we didn't want to take, or to make pit stops or breakdowns we didn't plan. I can't tell you how many times I wouldn't slow down, so God had to do it for me. But you know, some of our best family trips weren't the ones we planned. Because of circumstances or obstacles, we had to do something different, and the trip wound up being much better. God's plans are always better, although we may not see it until hindsight, or till we look in the rearview mirror. Even if we set our own plans, God can and will direct our steps so his plans will be fulfilled. So where is God calling you? What's God calling you to do? Is he calling you to come home? Is he calling you to homeschool? Is he calling you to continue to homeschool or to homeschool high school? Is he asking you to completely change how you homeschool? Are these plans new and foreign to you? Maybe you're homeschooling alone. Maybe your hubby's not on board with the idea, or you're going through a divorce, or you're a single mom. Maybe he's calling you to work full-time while you're homeschooling, or to homeschool while taking care of your elderly parent, a newborn baby. Maybe he's asking you to homeschool that special needs child, or to homeschool with tons of different doctor's appointments. Whatever the reason you find yourself home homeschooling, you know, it's not our fight to fight, but it's our path to walk. Remember that we can run, but we can't hide. God was with Jonah every step of the way. Even though Jonah tried to leave the Lord never left him. And notice in chapter 1, verse 4, God hurled a violent wind. God brought the storm. God allowed the storm. You know, God will do anything to get our attention. And I'm not saying that your present situation is your fault, but is it possible the situation you're in is because you're running from something? If not, then sit tight. I'm going to get to you guys in a minute. But if you said, well, maybe, or yeah, then what can you say yes to God to today in order for the waters to calm down? And keep in mind, violent storms bring much aftermath. Once we say yes, the storm may quiet down, but we'll still have a mess and some debris to wade through. Our rebellious spirit is, you know, much like our two-year-old's tantrums would have. Once he stops screaming and rolling around on the floor, we still have fallout from his choices and his behavior to deal with. Maybe a sibling has been hit, or there's feelings that are hurt. Maybe there's a mess in aisle 3 of the grocery store, or there's still schoolwork that has to be done. Or maybe you are upset, sad, or mad. We have to deal with the aftermath once the storm subsides. But God is with us in our messes too. Running from our call could bring hardship to ourselves and to those around us. Because we see in verse 10, the sailors were afraid. And in verse 14, they cried out to the Lord, please forgive us. I mean, these poor guys, the situation caused by Jonah's disobedience caused them to do things they didn't want to do. They were scared out of their minds, they were confused, and they were about to throw a man overboard. Maybe you're in the midst of a violent storm, not because of your running, not because of your disobedience or your delayed disobedience, but because of someone else's choices. Like the sailors in Jonah's story, sometimes we get caught up in someone else's storm. The key is to ask God for wisdom and discernment. Lord, is this my storm? Or is God calling me to ride this out with someone else? Maybe it's my child's storm, Maybe there's a heart issue or a character issue we need to take care of. Maybe it's a learning issue. Maybe God needs us to ride out the storm with them, to show His love and to make sure they know God is present with them in the storm. Maybe we're in the storm with them to be God's hands and arms and voice to our child. Maybe it's your hubby's storm. Maybe there's job problems or a heart issue or money problems. But keep in mind, while the sailors may have been in danger, God didn't let anything happen to them. The sailors, although scared to death, they were completely safe. God shielded them. We may get bruised, might get a few broken bones, the ship might be falling apart in the process, but God is with us. We may be the sailors in the story, or we may be Jonah, or at different points in our homeschooling journey, we may switch back and forth between being the sailors or being a Jonah. Now for my Jonas, why are you running? Where are you running to? What are you running from? When I stop and honestly ask myself these questions, I have to be truthful and then ask myself, yeah, Carrie, how's that going for you? How is it going for those around me? How are others being affected because I'm doing my own thing and going my own way? How are my decisions creating confusion and division in our family? Our reason to homeschool should not be because we're running from something, like maybe a bad school system, but because we're running to something, like God's plan for educating our children. And for my sailors out there, hold on. You might get wet. You're definitely in the splash zone. If you're in a storm, you need to do this homeschooling on your knees. Did you know your center of gravity is better the smaller you are? Your balance is better the closer you are to the ground. So readjust your center of gravity by falling on your knees and do this homeschooling journey in prayer. You know, I live in California, so we're used to earthquake command, duck, cover, and hold on. We need to apply this to our homeschooling too. We need to duck down. We need to get on our knees. We need to take cover, which is sheltering under God's wings. And we need to hold on. We need to grab hold to solid foundation and God's truth, and then wait for the aftershocks and the flash floods and the falling debris to stop. We need to hold on to God's promise. In chapter 1, verse 17, God saved Jonah. There was no need to run from God's call because God will provide what's necessary and rescue us if or when needed. And I didn't say the saving would be pretty. Jonah finds himself safe in the pit of a smelly belly. Messy disobedience sometimes calls for messy timeouts. Jonah found himself in the belly of a stinky, smelly, slimy whale. What lonely place do you find yourself in? Perhaps it's God's personal timeout for you, but perhaps it's shelter or help from the Lord. Perhaps homeschooling is a timeout or protection or safe haven for both you and your family. Maybe God has you homeschooling as a form of protection from something you can't quite see yet, but He knows it's the best place for you and your family right now. Just trust that wherever you are, wherever God sends you, or whatever He asks you to do, He's with you. In chapter 1, Jonah runs. In chapter 2, Jonah prays. In chapter 2, Jonah bows before God and says, "I'm here because you put me here. I'm always at a great advantage when I stop blaming others for my problems and fess up to my own mistakes and pride." Jonah knew he had to answer to the Lord alone. In chapter 2, we finally see Jonah ready to listen. After all the running away, after all the disobedience, after all the rebellion, God finally has Jonah's undivided attention. God will do whatever it takes to bring us to a place where we remember Him. A place where we can finally hear His still, calm voice. A place where we can know He is God and we are not. God had to stop Jonah in his tracks in order to get his attention. In Jonah 1, Jonah acts and keeps messing things up. In chapter 2, Jonah prays and things start to get a little better. Often, our greatest problem is slowing down enough to hear God's voice. In chapter 2, verse 1, it reminds us that when we are in distress, call on God and he will answer. And in chapter 2, verse 7, it reminds us that when fainting, to remember the Lord and to call on him. So what dark places are you in right now? Is it a smelly belly or a lonely place? While in this belly or lonely place, are you spending your time wallowing or are you spending your time calling out to God? The Lord commanded the fish to vomit Jonah onto dry land. So no matter what you're doing in the belly, whether you're praising or pleading or complaining, you're gonna end up where God wants you. So where is God putting you? Has it been pretty easy so far? Or perhaps it's been kind of hard and challenging? Are you homeschooling, kicking and screaming? What can you and I do today, this month, or the rest of the school year to clean up all that debris and to recenter our center of gravity? What can we do or change so we can hear God's still voice and tender words of encouragement? Now in chapter 3, Jonah obeys. But notice in verses 1 and 2, God didn't lighten his load. He gave Jonah the same exact task. What God did was he gave Jonah a second chance. But why was Jonah so apprehensive? Well, first, it was fear. The Assyrians were bloodthirsty and wicked, and they were the mortal enemies of the Israelites. So like Jonah, are both you and I apprehensive to homeschool because of fear? Are we afraid of what people are going to think? Are we afraid we can't do this or that we're going to ruin our kids? Trust me, we really can't do this alone. But God isn't asking Jonah or us to do this without him. Maybe the second reason he's so apprehensive was probably shame. I mean, what if Jonah failed? When we fail, shame takes hold of us and keeps us from moving forward. Sometimes we're just too embarrassed to obey the Lord because we're afraid we're going to fail. Like I said, trust the Lord. Even if you fail miserably here or there in your mothering or your homeschooling, God will always work it out for his good. Maybe another reason he might be feeling apprehensive is because of bitterness. Jonah had a heart issue. He hated Nineveh. Jonah didn't like his call. Friends, we don't have to always like what we're called to do, but we need to do it anyway. And we never know how God will use our homeschooling or our homeschooling testimony as a way to share the gospel with others. Just your faithful obedience can be a witness to someone who doesn't know or love the Lord. Jonah is about the worst preacher I have ever seen. His heart wasn't in the message. He was reluctant. He didn't really care if they listened or obeyed or not. Yet the Ninevites believed, repented, and prayed to God for forgiveness. It was a miracle. And this is a very important lesson for us. When we obey God's call, many are blessed, and many may come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ because of it. Our obedience and following God's plan can cause others to see God and his power. Our obedience brings glory and honor to God. And then in chapter 3, verse 10, you know, it took 40 days for the Ninevites to come around. Remember that, 40 days. Transformation doesn't happen overnight. When we repent and run from our rebellious nature or from our disobedient ways, God saves. What has God continually been telling you to do? Maybe God wants your homeschooling calling to bless others or to help others. Maybe your homeschooling is a way to share God's word and saving grace with others. Maybe it's a way to help others out of their own smelly belly or messes. Maybe you have a friend who's been called to homeschool but is reluctant to accept the call and to obey. How can my obedience and your obedience to homeschooling and to homeschooling God's way possibly help or bless someone else? Another thing to think about is what blessings or transformations in yourself, your children, or your family have you seen because you obeyed this call to homeschool? And I want you to write them down too. I want you to remember them so you can refer to them when you're feeling fearful, bitter, embarrassed, or feeling like a complete and total failure. You can look back at all of the blessings and be thankful and see that God is faithful. In chapter 3, Jonah obeys, but in chapter 4, we see Jonah is one bitter little man. I must admit, I've never really liked the way the book of Jonah ends. You know, I love happy endings where the good guy wins and the bad guy loses. I love it when the poor young man wins the hand of the beautiful maiden he has rescued. But this ending is nothing like that. It's one of the weirdest endings in the whole Bible. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "This change of plan greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry." Change of plans is a key phrase in Jonah 4. Now, I must admit right now, I hate when my plans change. I am not a flexible person. And God has been working on my inflexibility for years. And I will be honest and admit that I have hated just about every lesson God has used to teach me how to be more flexible and his efforts to stretch me. And yes, I might still be a little bitter about a few of those lessons. Sometimes I get angry when there's a change in my plans or a school day because, you know, I really don't like interruptions. My dad used to tell me all the time, "Honey, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken." My dad used to remind me of this all the time because he knew it wasn't in my nature to just go with the flow. And the Lord uses homeschooling and motherhood to help me grow in this area. He's even placed many friends in my life who excel at being flexible and spontaneous to try and show me how it's done. But is it right for me to be angry with God when God changes the plans? Do I have the right to be angry that God pursues me till I obey his plans? Is this not what we do with our kids? They refuse to do something we've asked them over and over to do, or to do something we know that is best for them. And when this happens with one of our kids, this is usually how my conversation goes. Something like, "Oh, yes, you will. I said so because I'm your mom. I say, therefore you do." But of course, my response to their rebellion tends to be rooted in pride and indignation. God doesn't relent either. But his motives are pure. He pursues a matter with more compassion and patience than I do. If we're willing to persevere with our kids to make sure that they go down the right path, then why do we get so angry with God when he's only doing the same thing with us? Jonah was bitter about God's choices. You don't need me to tell you this, but bitterness destroys relationships. It wrecks homes and families and friendships and even your homeschooling. Like Jonah, God called him to Nineveh not only to save the Ninevites, but to grow Jonah. His mission was just as much about Jonah as it was about the people of Nineveh. And the same is true for us. Homeschooling and God's plans for our homeschool are just as much about us as it is about teaching our kids. Many of us are called to homeschool because God wants to grow and teach us. There are many days I find myself saying something to my kids and realizing in mid-sentence in my heart that that lesson was really meant for me. And then in chapter 4, verses 4 through 11, we see Jonah throwing a pity party. The real question boils down to this. Will Jonah be happy with God only when God makes him happy? I mean, let's be honest. It's perfectly possible to obey God with a rotten attitude. I'm sure you have a kid or two who obeys you, but with a rotten attitude. God wants us to obey from a heart of gladness and gratitude. He'll send a vine to help us. But if our heart is still not in the right place, he might just send a worm and a scorching wind to reveal our inner hearts to convict us. So, what are you bitter about or angry about? Are you carrying a few grudges? Are you bitter about your calling to homeschool? It's okay, friend. We've all been there, done that. But we do need to fall down and repent because it's truly a privilege to be a mom and to be called to homeschool. He wants our hearts to be transformed as much as he wants our children to be transformed into the image of Jesus. God will give us seasons of leafy plants that protect us, and he will allow seasons with scorching heat to show us our hearts. God will provide relief, but he'll also allow challenges and discomfort to teach us a lesson. And you know the same is true for our kids. Maybe your kids are going through hard challenges right now, maybe with school or socially or with their health. I often tell my son, God will use his challenges with his dyslexia as his testimony one day. God will use it to help others. God will use our struggles and our kids' struggles for good, and he will provide relief too. If this is a leafy plant season for you, then how are you sharing your blessings and comfort with others? How are you praising and thanking God for it? Or is this a season of scorching heat? What's been your reaction to it? What's your heart attitude? Are you throwing a homeschooling pity party? Are you asking God, why do you need to homeschool again? Or are you saying, no, I don't want to? It's okay to ask and to share your heart with God. But if he's calling you to homeschool or to homeschool another year, keep in mind it's for a reason. He has a bigger and better plan for you and your family. So, are you ready and willing to take the path God has planned for us? Even though Jonah was a reluctant prophet, he was God's man for Nineveh. He was God's man for the job. You are God's woman for your family. You are his girl for this job of homeschooling. We may be afraid to go where God is sending us, but God wants us there. We might be afraid to make a move, but God says, trust me. Keep telling yourself, God's got this. When God's plans don't match ours, it's okay. God promises to hear our call and to be there with us and for us, even if his plans don't look at all like ours. God's timing and God's plans are always better and wiser than ours. Thank you for hanging out with us and for joining me for this little coffee break. If this is your first time joining us, you can find us at our website, coffeewithcarrie.org. We also have daily devotions and homeschooling tips at our Instagram account, Coffee with Carrie Consultant. Don't forget to check out our website for a few more articles on trusting God and relying on God while walking this homeschooling journey. If you heard something you like, then share our podcast or our Instagram and website with a friend who might need a little encouragement, or share it with a friend who's hesitant to accept the call to homeschool. We're praying for you. Stay healthy. God bless, and see you next time.